The concept that the United States was predicated on creating something of a global civilization is scary to many people, because the talk of global civilization today really gets people on edge, because they look at the way the world is running now and imagine it would only be worse if there was one global government. However, we must go back and look at the nature of the United States and what it represented in the world at that time. Up to the founding of the United States, there were many countries that existed for thousands of years. Each country was, in a sense, like a tissue culture dish, where the people were the cells in a dish. Each country was essentially walled off from all the other countries around it, so that each country was its own unique culture dish. In these dishes, the people would breed and ultimately create very wonderful traits, so that individual nations would express different traits based on what character was being bred into these cultures. However, what we know from breeding is that while you might be able to breed some beautiful, powerful individual traits, this comes at a cost, because usually in this breeding process, these purebreds are also weakened by genetic mutations that undercut their power. Things such as mental illness or hemophilia as a result of inbreeding are the consequence of this. So what was interesting about the United States was that it offered a new petri dish for the world. That in this petri dish, it wasn't just people from one country that were introduced, that the United States was a petri dish that offered a home for people from all over the world, from countries all over the world. And so the relevance is that the best from all the other different countries ultimately found themselves in the United States culture dish. And something that biologists have long recognized is a concept called hybrid vigor, which says basically that the mutt is much more powerful than any of the purebreds that might have been bred together to create that mutt. So in this sense, the United States offered a culture dish that represented a miniature global reality. So the United States was an experiment in a global world, because it offered the opportunity to participate together to create a new world. So in this wonderful new dish, the hybrid vigor offered in the United States led to the United States to becoming one of the most powerful nations in the world by exercising this ability to integrate a global population into one. However, unfortunately, things had changed. And the things had changed because within this wonderful dish, where hybrid vigor was manifesting and creating one of the most prosperous and free countries in the world, something happened. Viruses were introduced. Sociopathogens came in and distorted the American way of life. So by the time of the Civil War and the time of Charles Darwin manifesting scientific materialism, the United States was losing the philosophy that grounded it and made it the most powerful country in the world. For after the Civil War and after Charles Darwin's emphasis that now materialism is the fundamental philosophy of our world, the United States gave up its balance of spirit and matter and accepted a world based on matter. We gave up our understandings of freedom and accepted what is called the gold standard. And now everything in our world was measured as a quality of matter. Even our genes are measured as how valuable they are. And consequently, the dream of the United States had ended. And yet what's very interesting at this very particular time right now is that after Watson and Crick fully established that we have a world of scientific materialism, an upheaval happened in science. Because the next step in that Watson and Crick world would be to identify all the genes that a human had, because then we could market these genes and sell them as drugs to people to change their lives and fix up what might be wrong in their own individual experiences. And so in the process of creating the Human Genome Project, the effort was to list all the genes that are responsible for making a human. And in this mission, it was already established by the scientific materialists that there must be in excess of 100,000 genes to create a structure as complex as a human. So the project got off the ground in the 1980s to list all these genes. It was to be the last biology project. The reason was, once all the genes were listed, then all we'd have to do is identify the gene that you want for the trait that you want and engineer the individual, and we could fix any issue in our world. So the project got off the ground in 87, and it came to fruition in 2001. It was a heroic effort. Yes, they did identify every gene in the human genome. It was successful in that regard, but here's the cosmic joke. When all the genes were tabulated, rather than having an excess of 100,000 genes, all there were 23,000 genes. And the significance was a human could not be made according to our belief system using only 23,000 genes. And since the results of the Human Genome Project have been turned in, science has now found a new track to try to understand how can we create a human with so few genes. The introduction of a new science, which we'll discuss later, called epigenetics, has now revealed that our biology is not totally determined by our genes. In fact, it is more primarily controlled by our environment. And so once again, civilization is now acquiring a philosophy that it's not just the material realm, but it's also the environmental realm, which includes our thoughts, our beliefs, and the invisible forces in that environment. So interestingly enough, we are returning once again to a balance between a material and a spiritual realm. This will be our third visit to this balance point. The animus, the deist, and the current coming new philosophy that will shape evolution and civilization, perhaps into something we might call a holist paradigm. So it's a very interesting situation that when we look at our current civilization, which is based on scientific materialism, and the flaws that we are now beginning to find in the answers to the perennial questions based on that philosophy, we're also beginning to see a deterioration of the culture as we have known it. While many people are concerned and have fear about such a deterioration, it should be emphasized that nothing really ends. What we do is change from one and evolve into another philosophy and another civilization. And the beautiful part about the evolution that we're facing now is an evolution that will ultimately unite the world together in one harmonious material, spiritual realm.